Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And my name is Jimmy Ned Collins, and I'll be sharing this evening. Brother Lumen asked me to share. He's out of town, and he just asked me to share this evening, so I'm just going to go ahead and share what's on my heart. And I'm trying to think of a way to say it in English. I usually say it in Spanish. So let me translate it real quick. How is it? Hello to the whole entire world. No, not the world. It's the people of God. That's it. Hello to the whole entire people of God. And welcome to the CMI School of Christ. There you go. Like I said, I usually say that in Spanish, and I've never thought to actually say it in English till now. But one of the things I've been sharing in my Spanish classes is what I'm going to share this evening. And you can tell I've got a diagram behind on the board, and if you're reading it, it's all in Spanish. It'd take too long for me to erase it, write it in English, then erase it, put it back in Spanish. I'll just leave it in Spanish. It's easy to kind of figure out. But what I've titled this series that I'm currently doing is The Great Mercy of God. And this study that I've got behind me, where I've been searching in the scriptures, actually came out from a study on the term mercy. And all I really did was typed in the word mercy, did a search on the Bible program. And I was really surprised. One of the first mentions, if not the first mention, of the term mercy in the scriptures. And it's actually with Lot, of all people. I would have thought it would have been with Abel, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. But actually the first mention of mercy, well, one of the first, as I said, if not the first mention of mercy in the scriptures, is with Lot. And it's basically when Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah and the Lord had mercy upon him. Of course, I backtracked, and that's what I've got on the board right here. I've backtracked all the way to Ur of the Chaldees. And what I'd like to do this evening is kind of see the whole little journey of Abraham. And the way I've been presenting this is... Can you hear me, Brother Otis? The way I've been presenting this is basically this. God has an end that He desires to bring every heart and soul unto. This end was predetermined before the foundation of the world. And this end, you could say, not like a finish where it stops, no, like a finish line, like a goal. This end does not change, because the end is, I'll just spell it out real clearly, the end is the knowledge of the Son of God. It's very simple. Very simple. I'll read one verse. And while I was in Mexico, I was sharing according to this very thing. Let me see if I can find it real quick. It's the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. I'll just start with verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And this is the verse that was catching my attention. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And the way I was presenting this, and that's simply laid out. That is the end we are to come to. That is the end that God purposed before the foundation of the world, before there ever was a soul that He created. He purposed this end. Okay? Very simple. The knowledge of the Son of God. I think on the title we have The Great Mercy of God from Beginning to End. And I've shared it several times, and I'll use this example. You can look at the house as salvation. Okay? You come into the house just as they came into the house in the land of Goshen when they were in Egypt. They came into the house. They ate the lamb. They were in salvation while there was death everywhere else. They were brought out of that death, out of that abode of the dead, into salvation. Okay? Jesus said, no man lights a candle, sticks it under a bushel or under a bed, but he puts it on a candlestick. And he says these two things. He says this, actually, I think it's in the same gospel. He says that those who are in the house, and then there's another passage, I think it's the same gospel, it might be the gospel of Luke. Later on, he says he gives the same example, but this time he says, and those who come into the house, and the goal of those who are in the house and those who come into the house is to see the light of the house, which is Christ Himself. Not the golden lampstands, not the candlesticks, because John, in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, he says, I heard the voice, I turned to see the voice, and seeing, I saw seven golden lampstands. And praise God, he didn't stop there. It goes on. He says, and in the midst of the lampstands, one, like unto the Son of Man or Son of God, something like that. But he saw him because he then begins to describe Christ as all these pictures of light, bright, burning, shining, fire, bronze, all these beautiful pictures as light. And then, of course, John says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Okay? Those who are in the house and those who come into the house are purposed to see the light of the house, the light of the creation, the light of the world, who is Christ Himself. That's exactly what it is. In Isaiah, it says, the Lord says basically this, something like, I'm the Lord declaring the end from the beginning. The beginning is new birth. You cannot come to the end except you come into the beginning. Christ Himself, the beginning and the end. It doesn't change. It's Christ the beginning, Christ the end. But Christ the end is the knowledge of Him who is present. Christ the beginning, as the beginning, He is now present in the midst. The end is the knowledge of Him who is present. And so I was just kind of looking at the whole, basically, Abraham's journey of the heart. And I'll use this example. The Holy Spirit, for the one who's not born again, the Holy Spirit deals with the heart that it may come unto the Lord, that it may turn unto the Lord. Of course, it's a work of the Spirit. It is a miracle of God. New birth is the miracle of God. When that happens, by the work of the Lord, Christ appears in that soul. He appears in that soul where He wasn't there before. So now Christ is in the soul. That soul has come to the beginning. That soul has been birthed from the beginning, from above, from Christ Himself. I remember in, I think it was Exodus, when the Lord is speaking to the children of Israel. You know, they're in Egypt and they're about to, in type, be born again, you can say, come out from among the dead. The Lord says, this month will be your beginning of months. Everything's changed. Everything's changed. No matter how old you are, this is when you begin. You've not begun till now. And it's the same for those who are born again. Our beginning was at new birth, because our beginning is Christ Himself. Before that, the soul has not even begun. Listen, before Christ, the soul has not even begun to live. Christ is life. He is the life. Where life is present, where Christ is present, life is present. Where Christ is not present, life is not present. The soul has not begun to live until Christ Himself appears in the soul, because Christ is life. He is the life. Once the soul is born again, the Holy Spirit doesn't do something different. He doesn't change. The end is still the same. The end, God's end, is still the same. Christ does not change yesterday, today, forever. He doesn't change. And the Holy Spirit is faithful to draw the attention of the entire heart and place it upon the person of Christ. You see it with John the Baptist, the baptism of Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Places all the attention of the heart on the person of Christ. Okay, so now you have those who are born again. And the Holy Spirit is still working with the heart to soften, yes, the dirt of the heart, to soften the earth, to soften the heart, that it would now turn yet again unto the Lord, that the veil be removed. And now, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ to appear in the soul. I can't draw it on the board because I've got that other diagram. But Christ is in the heart of the one who's born again. But there remains a veil over the heart. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. There remains a veil over the heart. So the one who's in the midst is not seen and therefore not known, though he is there. And the Holy Spirit, for those who are born again, for us who are born again, the Holy Spirit desires to do this. Listen to the way I say this. To bring the heart in understanding unto where He hath, has, past tense, brought the soul in reality. I usually have the students jot that down. The Holy Spirit, for the one who is born again, desires to bring the heart in understanding to where He has already brought the soul in reality. The heart is the governing seat. If we are ignorant of who is present, then what we have known will govern us. What we have known, past tense. Not whom is present, but whom we have known. Us. Our own knowledge, carnal knowledge, all the information that we got whilst among the dead. And yet the one remains, Christ Himself, the Son of God, remains in the midst, and we know not. But the Lord has come that we may know, that He may be revealed in us. Not unto us. We are a new covenant in us. So this is the work of the Lord. This is the work of the Lord for every heart and soul. Always bringing unto the end. You see it with Adam. Same thing. Once the Lord has a man, what does he do? Adam's a type of Christ. He brings a whole entire creation unto this man. Yes. He brought it all into Adam so Adam could give it a name. So Adam could call it what it is. He brings a whole entire creation unto his son. Always. The same thing with Noah, who's another type of Christ. The Lord brings a whole entire creation unto Noah, represented in the twos. They came two by two. A whole entire creation brought unto Noah. The Lord does the same because his son doesn't change. Adam, Noah, they were just figures. They were types of Christ. The Lord does the same for his son. All right. So I've been looking at the whole journey of Abraham. This is Old Covenant time. So Abraham literally had to get up from one location and move to another location. He had to do that. It was Old Covenant. God was one place. Abraham was another place. So Abraham lived in Ur. He literally got up, went to Haran, literally went to Canaan, literally went to Egypt, literally went back to Canaan. He literally moved locations, geographical locations. All right. Of course, this is a new covenant. And as I said, for us who are born again, we don't have to go anywhere. No. The Lord desires to bring our heart to where He hath brought our soul in reality. That the light of the knowledge of the Son of God may now be revealed, may now be known. The one who is in the midst now is known to be where he is. So what I do and kind of how I've been presenting this is basically this is the journey of the heart. The journey of the heart. We don't go anywhere. Once we're born again, we're in Christ. Where are we going to go? You can't leave Christ. He who is joined to the Lord is one. You can't. What God hath joined, let no man separate. Impossible. Impossible. Now, our heart may wander. Yep. And the Holy Spirit continually deals with the heart. Soften the ground, prepare the ground of the heart to yet once again turn and turn and turn and turn unto the face of Christ. I like that. All right. So I've been looking at this whole family here with Tara, and I've been looking at them. For us, I just kind of look at it this way. For us, it's just a journey of the heart. That's it. And what I mean by journey, I already said it. We're not going to go anywhere. We're in Christ. Those who are born again are in Christ because Christ is in us. We could not be in Christ if He were not first in us. If He were not found present in our soul. So this journey of the heart is nothing more than the heart turning to the Lord. That's it. Or should I say turning to the Lord? You know, I can't even give a direction because it's just above. Whenever the heart turns to the Lord, then the heart has made the journey to the end. So I'd like to just, you know, read some verses concerning this. And as I said, I just use the whole family of Terah as an example. I'm not saying this is the way it is. This is concrete and stone. No, I'm just using it as an example. Why? Because I've experienced some of this in my own walk. You know, in my own, to whatever degree, trying to come to know the Lord. You know, I've experienced this and I've seen it in others as well. So I'll just go ahead and just start reading. And I'll start with Genesis 11:26. And it's basically the house of Terah. And it says, and Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Verse 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And verse 28. I'm basically going to read an entire chapter from this point on. Verse 28. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. Haran died. And the way I've... Well, let me keep on reading. Verse 29. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, his brother. The father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But verse 30, but Sarah was barren. She had no children. And see, that's very significant. I love that. Sarah was barren. The relationship that Abram had no fruit to it. It's very significant. And Lord willing, it probably won't happen in this class, though. It will happen in my Spanish classes. You can check them out if you're bilingual. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. All right. In Genesis 11:31, this is kind of how I see it. And like I said, this isn't patent in stone or anything. But I just see it like as an example. Salvation came to the house of Terah. Ur was in Babylon. I don't know if you can see that from here, but this is a little square, and I think you can. Remember? No life. Where no life is present. Worshippers of idols. They worship whatever. They worship themselves. Their concepts, their thoughts, their ideas. No life is present. Genesis 11:31, and Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. What I've been seeing is what takes place in the heart of every single person who's ever become born again. Salvation comes to a soul. Salvation comes to a person. And the Lord has it. The Lord brings salvation to a soul to bring them to the end that He's determined. It says it right here. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. They didn't just leave Ur. They were purposed for the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Well, here's Haran. Well, the diagram is definitely not to scale, but it kind of almost looks like this when I pulled it up in a Bible Maps program. Haran's kind of up here. Salvation comes to a household. The same thing the Lord declared to Moses to tell the children of Israel. You saw what I did to the Egyptians, and I bear you on eagle's wings unto myself. They were in type in salvation already. You can see the whole situation when they were in the wilderness. They just had no clue of the one who is present in the midst. That rock that followed them, which was Christ. They had no clue of who was present in the midst. Therefore, they were still governed by a Pharaoh, a head that was not present. And you see it. That's all they're declaring. You know, you should have left us in Egypt. It was better when we were in Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. And I'm pointing this way because I've got Ur over here, a little square over here where there's no life but among the dead. And you see that all throughout their journey of wandering in the wilderness. And yet the Lord, a same example, the Lord purposed them to come into a land. And very sadly, only two came in, Joshua and Caleb. Out of a whole entire generation. Think about it. Every generation, the Lord, it's not that the Lord moves and does something in one generation and does something in some other generation. No, He does the same thing across all generations. God doesn't live in time like we do. You know, these bodies are in time. He doesn't live in time. He's eternal. He has one purpose, one goal, one end. And by His great mercy and grace, He calls those out in every generation to purpose them to come to His end. And this will be real significant. It's not a land. It's not a location place. It's not, like I said, we're not going to go to some other place. No, 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 no. Canaan is very significant the way I've been seeing it here recently. Yes, I know. I know that first and foremost, I know that Christ is the Son whom the Lord brought out of Egypt. Let my Son go, that He may serve me. I know that Canaan is truly our soul, that He comes and takes possession of. But see, with us, we're born again, the Lord will never force Himself. His nature is a lamb. It's a lamb as though it had been slain who sits upon the throne. You can see it with David. The Lord anointed David as king. That means that there's an imposter on the throne whose name is Saul. David would not touch Saul. He wouldn't try to take the throne. David knew he was king. Or did he? I say it that way because David also knew who he was. He knew he wasn't the king. He knew the Lord was the true king. He knew the Lord was the king of Israel. He knew the Lord was the shepherd of Israel. He knew that. Therefore, he would not take the throne from Saul. He said, if the Lord wants to take care of it, let the Lord take care of it. I won't put my hand against him. Praise God. Beautiful nature. The Lord brings Saul to an end, finally, because Saul would not come to the end. So, and David's now sitting on the throne. And there's an uprising. One of David's sons now wants to take the throne from David. What does David do? Fight? No. You want it? It's not mine. He leaves it. He leaves! This is the nature of the Lord. He will not force us. He's purposed our heart to come in understanding, in knowledge, unto where He has brought our soul in reality. He will not force our heart to turn. He will not do that. But in His mercy, in His great mercy, tender mercy you could call it, and grace, He prepares the ground of our heart with the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit's work, preparing the ground in hopes and expectation that it will turn and see its salvation. All right? So that's kind of how I've been looking at it. Salvation comes to the house of Terah, and they aren't purposed for salvation. No, they come to salvation because they're purposed to the end. For the end. But to come to the end, you must come to the beginning. to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. So they began and they on their journey and they stopped at Haran. And as I shared it earlier this morning, you know, when I was first born again, I sure didn't know what anything was about. I didn't know that God actually had an end that He wanted my heart to come unto. Now, I thought God wanted me, had something for me, and when I say me, the me I thought was present, I thought God had something special for me, Jimmy. No, that's not the case. No. He has something purposed for my heart, Him who is special, Christ His Son. So I would, and I'm just giving examples of myself. I would start doing things, reading things, hearing people, studying, listening to others, and you know, I was with one group, and they were all about saying basically this: the purpose is salvation for the lost. That was the goal. That was the end. That's the end that they had in view. So that's all they declared. So I went with it also. As many as you can lead to the Lord. So I don't know where we were at. We were somewhere around and, you know, we'd definitely come out. We were born again. But we sure didn't come to the end in our heart. We were somewhere lost in time. Lost in our vain imagination. So I was a part of that for a little while. Got bored. Because nothing will satisfy. Nothing on this earth will truly ever satisfy us. We were created to be satisfied by coming to the end. So I got bored with that. Then I was a part of a different group. Oh, it's all about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So there I go. Praying the way they said. You got to pray fervently. Night and day. Go into a prayer closet and just pray. And so I did. Till I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Had no clue what that meant. Had no clue what that was for at the time. And then, well, okay, well, now what? Well, now it's about ministry, miracle, signs, wonders. So get caught up in all that and jump through the hoops with that. I don't know how many years. And what I say in my own heart, and please understand I'm using myself as an example. I was stuck somewhere in limbo. Yeah, in limbo. You can call it the ignorance of my own imagination. Because I know that in my heart, I had not yet come to the end. Why do I know? Because I started praying prayers. Yeah. To minister in the gifts? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jump through all the hoops. Jump through them all, praise God. I got bored. And I thank the Lord that He's faithful. I thank the Spirit of the Lord that the Spirit of the Lord is faithful unto Christ. That all of a sudden I started praying this prayer. And really it was the Lord softening the ground of my heart. Here's the prayer. Lord, is this it? Is this what it's all about? Because if this is what it's all about, I should probably just go back into the world. Right? Get the best degree I can and get the best job I can. If this is what it's all about, Haran wasn't much different than Ur. In Ur, they worshipped the moon god. Guess what they worshipped in Haran? The moon god. Not much different when you're ignorant. The saddest part is that I was ignorant, and I was ignorant of my ignorance. I didn't even know it. I didn't even know I was ignorant. Now, I wasn't ignorant of things because I thought, hey, it's better. If this is it, it's better in Ur. I was just ignorant of the one who was present in the midst. And Paul calls him the unknown God, because he's not known by his own, who are purposed to know him. Studying and searching the scriptures is no means to knowing God. All that studying and searching the scriptures can do is produce an expectation in our heart. Something that the Holy Spirit can use to prepare the ground of our heart for the appearing of the Lord. To come to the end. So, that's why I say that. I was praying, Lord, if this is it, hey, how to go back into the world. Go with the world, go with the flow of the world. But I thank the Lord that I was just ignorant of what it's all about. And he wasn't. He remains faithful. See, we don't change God's mind. God doesn't even change our mind. No. He replaces our mind with the mind of Christ. So therefore we confess, it's not even my mind governing, but the mind of Christ governing in me. So, they make it to Haran. But do you know what? Haran died in Ur, the land of his nativity. He didn't come out. Or shall I say, he did not come in. He died in Ur. Salvation comes to a household. The majority come out, one remained. Dead. He didn't come to life. And it goes on. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. In Haran. And what was it? Yeah, here I've got it. This is Barnes' notes for Acts chapter 7. The Jews unanimously affirm that Terah relapsed into idolatry before Abram left Haran, and this they denominate death, or a moral death. It is Qui Noel, something like that. And it goes on, it is certain, therefore, that from some cause they were accustomed to speak of Terah as dead before Abraham left. Terah in his heart went back. Terah in his heart never left. Kind of like the children of Israel in the wilderness. It was better in Egypt. Oh, the leeks, the melons. We just don't know the better. So we call evil good and good evil. We've got it all backwards until we come to the end. Until God in His great mercy and grace brings our hearts unto the end, which He has purposed our hearts for. If we're born again, He's brought our soul to the end. We're just ignorant. All right. Genesis 11:32. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. He was purposed for Canaan. We read it right here, Genesis 11:31. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. He was purposed to come to the end, and he came short. A whole entire generation that the Lord purposed to come to the end, out of Egypt to come to the end, out of a whole entire generation, all but two came short. That's a very sobering thought, if you think about it. Think about the generation. What were they, hundreds? Thousands? 10,000s? I don't know how many they were purposed to come to the end, and yet from that entire generation, only two came to the end. May the Lord stir our own hearts, though we would be of that generation that does come to the end that He desires to bring our hearts. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. All right. That was Genesis chapter 11, verse 32. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. Don't you like it? The land I will show thee. But he's telling Abram. And that was verse 1. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. But verse 1 says, the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. He was still in Haran at the time. So, where was Abram? He was in the imagination of his own heart. Yeah. Abram was in type. Abram was in salvation. He had come out, but he had not yet come in. In his heart, please remember this. It is not a journey coming to one place to get to another. There you go. I can't twirl. It is a journey of the heart, a journey of understanding, a journey of knowledge, where the heart simply turns unto the Lord. The turning of the heart unto the Lord. Call it a journey. That's what I'm calling it right now. That's all it is. That's all it is. I'll give you a quick example. Y'all can see me. I'm in the room right here. You guys can see me right there. I can see you. I know where I am. Now look what I'm going to do. I don't see you anymore. So, because I don't see you, you must not be there. I know I'm here, but I don't see you, so you must not be there. What's changed? Nothing. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Ah, but what happened? I had to turn around to see who's present. And everyone who was present the whole entire time, I saw and therefore knew to be present. Where'd I go? Nowhere. I just turned. That's all it is. The heart turning unto the Lord. Turning from our vain imaginations unto the truth. Unto reality. Unto the face of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Okay, so get out of your... How do you say it? Out of thy country. From thy kindred. From thy father's house. All this... You're still stuck here. You're out, but you're still stuck in your heart, in your imagination. Unto a land that I will show thee. Very specific with the term show. And I want us to just think about this. The Lord never spoke to Abram while he was in Ur. Never. Not once. The first time the Lord spoke to Abram was when he was out of Ur. He wasn't yet in Canaan. He had not yet come to the end, but he had come to the beginning. That was the first time the Lord spoke to Abram. I have it marked there. First time God speaks to Abram in Haran, not Ur. Very important. Very important. Then it goes on. So they leave Haran, and Abraham took Sarai his wife, this is verse 5 of chapter 12 of Genesis, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and look. And the souls that they had gotten in Haran. There were other souls there. There were other souls that had come out and had camped there. Other souls that had come out and never made it to the end. Other souls who began and never finished. Praise God. When the Lord spoke to Abram, he wasn't the only one who came. Others came with him as well, that they might come to the end. The rest of verse 5. And they went forth, still in line, still on line, still on track, to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Here they come, into the land of Canaan. And you've got the Sea of Galilee, you've got the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea, and you've got the southern part of the Dead Sea. But here it is. They go from Haran. The Bible map that I had the journey coming up here above the Sea of Galilee into Canaan. I saw a different map that said he kind of went through the Jordan. This is the Jordan right here, that he went through the Jordan to get into Canaan. I haven't really fully studied it out, so there you go. I'm just going by the first map that I looked at. Verse 6, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was there in the land. He came into the land of Canaan, and the Canaanite was there in Canaan, because he was in Canaan. Genesis 12, verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram. That is what Abram was purposed for. That is what each one of our souls are purposed for. Each one of our hearts are purposed for. This is the end to which God desires to bring the heart. Once again, in Exodus, you saw what I did unto the Egyptians, and I bear you on eagle's wings unto myself. The reality was there. God was present. They were, if you will, they were in the presence of God Almighty Himself. They were just ignorant of Him who was in the midst. It's very significant. The Lord, and I'll continue with this study. It won't happen, during this class. The Lord only appears in Canaan with Abraham. Read it verse by verse and mark where they're at. Sketch it out. You can sketch out this diagram if you want. I'll get it out of the way just real quick. There you go. You can sketch it out. Look it out on a Bible atlas, in the back of your Bible. Or look for one online, because you're watching online. The Lord never spoke while Abram was in Ur. Never spoke to Abram. After that he had come out, he spoke to Abram. The Lord never appeared to Abram until he was in Canaan. That's it. Acts chapter 26, verse 16. James Murdoch's translation of the Syriac Peshitta. The Lord declaring to Saul of Tarsus, but really the Lord declaring purpose for the soul of man. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness of this, thy seeing me and of thy seeing me hereafter. The Lord first appears when Abram is now in Canaan. His heart made the journey. His heart turned. And the Lord was there to be seen. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, see? The Lord clearly states it, what it's all about. Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. First altar. Happens when the Lord appears. Do you see it? Do you see the order? It's a spiritual order. And seeing a spiritual order doesn't mean anything. It just means we still need to see the Lord ourselves. The Lord appeared, and then the altar was effectual. There's an order. It's not the other way around. The Lord appeared, and then the altar. That's the order right there. Now, maybe a different order somewhere else, but that's the order right here. The order became effectual in his heart. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. When I saw him, therefore, the love of God constrains me to say, if one died for all died, I died as well. When I saw him, when he was revealed in me, thus I declare, I am crucified with Christ. Yet not I, the life of the vessel, yet Christ who liveth in me. It's beautiful. The Lord appeared unto Abram and began saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. First and foremost, the seed is Christ. The land, our soul. Yes, we are his inheritance. His inheritance in the saints. His inheritance in the saints. But his appearing is our inheritance as well. That's what he told Abram. Abram. It was still Abram, I think. I am thy shield, thy exceedingly great reward. So I know I'm running out of time. I could go on, but basically I'll just kind of go with the diagram. Came to Canaan. The Lord appeared. It's what it's all about. But he kept on journeying, built another altar, and guess what? There was a famine in the land, and Abram went to Egypt. Back among the dead. You can study it out. The Lord never spoke to Abram while he was in Egypt. Not once. The Lord never appeared unto Abram while he was in Egypt. No, not once. The Lord's providence was present that Abram might come back to purpose, come back to the end for which he was purposed, and he did. He plagued Pharaoh and Pharaoh's house, and in fact, all of Egypt. To finally, Pharaoh is like, get out, go, leave. They asked, one of the students asked me once, Jimmy, will God use the world to deal with His people? My response was, God will use anything that will get our attention. God will, in His great and tender mercy and grace, use anything He can to bring us unto the end that He purposed our soul for. If you're born again, salvation is present. You may not be in the enjoyment of that salvation, but that doesn't change the fact, the reality that salvation, Christ Himself, is present. That the King of Peace is present. Nothing more to do. There's no wars when Solomon is sitting upon the throne. There's no upheavals. There's no wars. There's no nothing when Solomon is rightfully seated upon the throne of our heart. The whole realm is at peace. The whole land is at peace. But till then, there's uprisings. Yeah. Yeah, us. Us, yeah. So, I know my time's out, but that's basically what I've been seeing. It's a real beautiful picture. In one spot, you know, they're here when they all went with Abram to Egypt. And they all came back out. And not only that, but they brought with them from Egypt as well. So you can't go among the dead and not pick something up. Sad to say, it was Hagar, the Egyptian. And we know what happened from there, Ishmael. All right, so they're back in the land. Lot has a lot, their herdsmen, they've got stuff too, and they get in, you know, Abraham says, look guys, we don't want to be in strife. We're brethren. We don't want to be in strife. Listen to Abram. He's not saying, you go that way, you do this, you get out of here. No, he says, Lot, there was strife, there was too much with Abram's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. What is the nature that governs Abram who saw the Lord? Lot, the whole land's here for you. If you take the left hand, I'll take the right. If you take the right hand, I'll take the left. Choose whatever you want. I'll take whatever remains. I love that. I'll take, now that's not scriptural, but in a sense it is scriptural. There's one who remains. It's Christ. And Lot, sad to say, he chose the plain of Jordan because it looked like, listen to this, the Garden of Eden. Well watered, like the Garden of Eden. He also said it looked like Egypt. Before, it says this in the verse, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He chose according to the knowledge of good and evil. He chose according to His natural eye. He chose with an unrighteous judgment what He thought looked good. So guess what Lot did? Lot journeyed eastward, out of purpose, out of the goal, out of the end. So he's no longer serving purpose. He's out somewhere in these plains over here. Abram, he's still Abram at this point, remains in the land, praise God. Remains in the land. And then, because my time's pretty much done, the Lord, in His great mercy, because He's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, brings Lot, has to grab him in His mercy. He lays hold of him and brings him out. Well, Lot, he just wanted to go as far as Zoar. So Zoar was spared. But he destroys Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. Now, that's where one Bible atlas has Sodom and Gomorrah. Another one has Sodom and Gomorrah somewhere up here. But it's still the same. It's not in the land. It's not in Canaan. But God in His mercy remembers Lot. and desires to bring him back to purpose. Actually, I don't believe, I've not read it, but I do know that Peter said that Lot was a righteous man whose soul was vexed by basically the filth of Sodom. But I don't see anywhere in the scripture that the Lord appeared unto Lot. See, the thing is, the heart has to make this journey. The heart of each one has to turn. It's not good enough just for Abraham's heart, or Abram. It's not good enough for just Abram's heart to come to the end. No. What about Sarai? Her heart has to come as well. What about Lot? His heart has to come as well. What about all of us, those who are born again? Till we all come in the unity of faith to the knowledge of the Son of God. Till we all come. So I'll end with that. The journey of the heart from beginning to end is the appearing of the Lord. For the appearing of the Lord. The knowledge of the one who is present. The knowledge of the one who is in the midst. So, not sure if I'll ever get to finish this class with y'all, but if you have any questions, email me. Email us at the website. Just, I can send you some verses. They'll probably be in Spanish, but you can try to decipher them. But anyway, Lord bless you guys. Remember once again that, as Brother Lumen would state it, and Raven, we're glad and we're thankful for you being with us. We're thankful for us being able to be with you to share this wonderful gospel that we know, to share this wonderful Christ that we are knowing. Certainly we don't know him in the fullness that we should completely know him, but whatever fullness we are knowing him in, we do desire to share with all others, as I stated it before, that we all come. So the Lord bless you all, and I'll see you again whenever I see you. Amen.